I believe all of us want to fulfill God's purpose for your life. Question, how many of you feel like right now you are doing exactly what God wants you to do? Do you feel like you're fulfilling God's purpose? Are you making a difference? Some of you today may say, you know what, I don't really feel like I'm making a difference. I don't really feel like I'm fulfilling my purpose. You can have a new start today. Today can be a new day for you. It can be a turning point for you. And maybe if you hadn't been really making a difference, maybe if you hadn't been feeling like you're fulfilling God's purpose, God's got more to life than just existing. He's got a great plan for your life. If you believe that, say amen. He's got a plan for you. Are you fulfilling that plan? Are you exactly where God wants you to be? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Today is a wonderful day. And I want to share with you today a message God's placed in my heart this week. But speaking of fulfilling God's purpose, I was at a restaurant about a week ago, and a man I had not seen in quite some time. He lives in the community. He's not a member of the church here, but I see him every once in a while. I see him at the funeral homes. I see him at the hospital here and there. And anyway, I happened to see him and his wife last week. And actually it was about 2 weeks ago now. And anyway, he came up to me. He looked at me. I hadn't seen him about a year or so. He came and he looked at me and he started doing this. He said, man, you're turning into one of them Jesus freaks. I said, yes, sir. I'd rather be a Jesus freak than a devil freak any day. Amen. I'd rather be a Jesus freak than a devil freak any day of the week. Question. How many of you played baseball? How many played baseball? Come on, how many play softball? How many have ever put a glove on your hand? This glove is not any good until, that is, I mean, it's nice and all that. This is not nice, but anyway, it's a glove. But a glove does not operate by itself. It has to have somebody to put that hand in that glove, and then you can operate that glove. Hopefully you'll catch the ball, all right? Hopefully you'll catch when the ball is thrown to you, a glove. And I want you to know, beloved, God, this is the message God placed in my heart to share with you today. Here's the title. If you're taking notes, let God put his hand on your life. Let God put his hand on your life. And speaking of gloves, I heard about three umpires. One of them was a young rookie umpire. The other one was an older umpire. And the third one was a veteran umpire. The young rookie umpire said, he said this about being an umpire. He said, some are balls, some are strikes. He says, I call them as I see them. The older umpire said about umpiring, he said, some are balls, some are strikes. I call them as they are. But the veteran umpire said, some are balls, some are strikes. They ain't nothing until I call them, all right? They ain't nothing until I call them. And I want you to know something, beloved. I'll be honest with you. I ain't nothing without Jesus. We aren't. I know that's not good English, but brother, it's sure, and sister, it's sure good bibliology or theology. Let God put his hand on your life. Let God put his hand on your life. Is God's hand on your life? Today, you can let God use you and just do things through you that you never dreamed. Matter of fact, I want to share with you today that there are four reasons I believe that the Lord, we ought to let him, watch this, put his hand on our life. Let him just put his hand on you. Let him just do what he wants to do. He can work through you. He wants to work through you. He wants to bless you more than you are even, and I'm even able to comprehend. Let him have his way for reasons why you and I ought to let God have his way with us today. And we're looking today in the book of John, chapter 20. But by the way, you're going to have to listen really carefully, because the Lord led me to go through the life of our Lord Jesus and see some things about him, how we can let God have his way in our life. So in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, if you're able to stand, I just want to read a couple of verses there. If you're able to stand as we read the wonderful word of God, just stand quickly, please. And we want to read it, and then I'll pray, and then we'll see what God has for us in the text. You're very familiar with this passage in the Gospel of John, chapter number 20, and verse 30 and 31. John is the evangelist. He portrays Jesus as the Son of God, the living God, not a good person, not just a teacher, rather God in the flesh. In John chapter 20, verse number 30, if you're there, say amen. And many other signs truly to Jesus in the presence of his disciples. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, I repeat, which are not written in the book, this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you now for the living word of God. Thank you, Jesus. You became the living word. Now we read the written word. Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit of God enables us to flesh out the word. I ask you now to speak to our hearts. Change us, Lord. I want you to have your way with me. Lord, I don't always do the things that you want me to do, but God, I pray now in the name of Jesus, you'll give me a fresh cleansing and a fresh yieldedness and surrender of my heart to let you put your hand on my life. Lord, I pray now that you'll move upon our hearts. Those, our Father, that are here today that have never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, that God, today will be the day of salvation. That, Lord, today that there'll be a breakthrough. The light will come on. There'll be a genuine quickening and conversion of the heart to follow you, to love you, to serve you, and to make a difference. Father, we thank you now and praise you for your church in the time of praise and worship. Brother Boyd and Nancy, and Father, thank you again for your goodness to us. I bless you, Lord, that you're a living God, that you've risen from the grave, and you're coming again one day. We love you because of your love, and ask you, Lord, to be high lifted up today and help us to worship you in spirit and truth, and we'll give you the glory for it, for every life that's changed, for every Christian here, Father, that feels wayward. I pray, Father, that you will draw us nearer to you, and you'll, Lord, help us to let you put your hand on us today. Every single person here, Father, may our dear God, we take our hands off our life and let you have your way with us. And let you put your hand on us, Father, because you love us. And we thank you for the blood of the Lamb, the power of the cross. Satan's overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And we thank you in Jesus' name, what you're going to do, what you've already done, what you will do in Jesus' name. And all the church said, amen and amen and amen. Let God put his hand on you. Let God put his hand on you. Let God put his hand on you. And by the way, by way of introduction, I want to tell you, first of all, as we follow and the life of the living Lord Jesus, first, there's the miraculous birth. Do you remember what happened? Do you remember Gabriel coming to Mary saying, hey, you have found favor with God? How many want to have favor with God these days? How many want God to have you and have faith? Don't you want to have the favor of God on you? Absolutely. Lord, I want to find favor. That word favor is grace. And so Mary says, but how can this be? I've never known a man. And Gabriel says, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and in your womb you'll find a child. His name will be Jesus. And she said, but how can this be? And you remember, the angel said, with men some things are impossible, but not with God. Let's say that together. With men some things are impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Let's say it together. All things are possible with God. Do you really believe that? I believe that with all my heart. All things are possible with God. Now, sometimes we don't really exercise that, but God help us to really embrace that. First, there's the miraculous birth. Next, we come to the life of our Lord as we're introduced in the Gospel of John and Matthew, Mark, and Luke as well. That we find not only his miraculous birth, but the supernatural baptism. Remember when he came to John the Baptist? John was baptizing. Can you imagine in your mind's eye? John baptizing those. Oh, what a glorious scene. And all of a sudden, the Lord shows up. Jesus, and John, he looks at John, and John says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And then Jesus comes up to John. Can you see him in your mind's eye? And says, John, Go ahead and baptize me. John says, I'm not worthy to untie your shoes and laces on your sandals, much less baptize you. And remember what Jesus said? He said, permit it so, allow it so, suffer it so, is the King James terminology. And then John, watch this, John puts Jesus under the water. And the Bible records a great supernatural experience took place that day. Remember what happened? The Holy Spirit of God descended from heaven. Can you see it in your mind's eye? In the form of a dove and lit upon our Lord Jesus. The voice of the Father was heard. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That supernatural baptism. And then, by the way, we come to the text today. We come to the message today for reasons why I believe that we ought to let God put his hand on us. Let God put his hand on us. And the first reason is to overcome temptation the right way with extraordinary strength. The first reason we all let God, listen to me, the first reason we all let God put his hand on us is to overcome temptation the right way with extraordinary strength. Now follow with me, okay? First thing, Jesus, after his baptism, remember he was filled with the Holy Spirit. How many believe he was filled with the Holy Spirit? He was God in the flesh. Watch him now. First test was for him to go through the wilderness. Remember the life of our Lord? He went through the wilderness. Why? He was tempted of the devil. How long? 40 days and 40 nights. What did he do? He fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights. What happened? Remember what happened? He's walking, he's going through that wilderness. He's fasting and praying. Yet he's God. But He must go through it in order to get to it. He's got to go through the test. He's got to be, though he was God, he's got to go through the temptation. Is there anybody here that's going through some tests? Is there anybody here that's got temptation all around you? Is there anybody here that says, man, why in the world is all of this stuff happening to me? I want you to know, it might be that God wants to get you through it in order to get you to the place of blessing. In order to get you the place where God wants to bless you, if he can get you through it, he can get you to it. Watch Jesus. Remember, the devil came to him and said, yeah, you're God. Oh, yeah. He said, if you're hungry, he knew that he was hungry. That is, the devil fasting 40 days, 40 nights, a long time. He said, if you're God, turn these bread, this stone into bread. Jesus used the word of God. It's written, man shall not live on bread alone, but out of every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Secondly, the devil said, well, if you're God, put yourself on the temple and throw yourself down and so forth and so on. And Jesus used the word of God to defeat the devil. It is written, it is written, it is written. Thirdly, the devil took him up on a high mountain and said, if you bow down unto me, I'll give you all of this. And Jesus said, it is written, begone, Satan, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Hey, wait a minute. And at that point, Jesus went through the temptation and he came out the other side. Is there anybody here that says, well, God, put your hand on me. Watch this now. God wants to put his hand on you. The Lord wants to do some things, but there might be some temptations you got to go through. There might be some testing and some trials that God's got prescribed for you, and you don't know why, and often I don't know why. But wait a minute, this week, I spent about a half a day, 4 hours with a man. And not only on Monday, but also on Sunday, spent several hours with this man. This man is addicted to alcohol. How many know somebody ever that's been addicted to alcohol? It's a terrible thing. It's a bad scene. He's trying to get off of these demons of alcoholism, and he can't. The chemical dependence is already racking his body. The devil's got him down, and the devil is really working on him big time. I'm over there trying to pray with him. I'm over there trying to encourage him along the way. But the devil doesn't want to loose him. I tell you what, it got so bad on Monday, the man was shaking with DTs, as we call them. He was shaking so bad. He was pacing up and down the floor. He'd been about a day or two without a drink, and that chemical dependency was just overtaking him. He was in a time of temptation, and we prayed and believed God to help him through. Well, bless the Lord. God's got power. How many believe that the devil's strong, but Jesus is stronger? Amen and amen. Thank God when the Son sets you free indeed. Because greater is He that's in me than he is in the world. You might know somebody today. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a family member. That the devil has them in the throes of alcoholism or some kind of even prescription drugs nowadays is a very common thing. I want to tell you, don't give up on them. Because there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. And there's power in the Word of God. The Lord can absolutely break them free. We can't, but He can. Praise God. And so temptation. I reminded this man in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There had no temptation taken you but such as come to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able. But when with the temptation, watch this. Make a way to escape that you might be able to bear it. You say, but brother pastor, I'm being tempted and I can't help it. I yield to it. Yes, you can help it. Yes, I can help it. God said, listen to me. God said He'll make a way to escape. But I've been angry and I've been bitter and you don't know what I've been through. And I live in a lust-driven world and pornography's all around me and greed and covetousness. And I'm just tempted to lie. Well, God says there's a way to escape. You don't have to yield to the temptation. Well, bless God, there's a way to escape. And speaking of temptation, I heard about a young man taking a test, and he was taking this high school test in order to pass. Chris, by the way, graduating, Chris. Justin, by the way, graduating. He said he took the test, but he came down to a question. He had no idea what was the answer. You know what he put on the test? He said, only God knows the answer. And the teacher wrote back, God gets an A and you get an F. All right? Temptation. Speaking of temptation, how many, tell me the truth now, y'all look at me. How many have ever yielded temptation? I want to tell y'all, you're a bunch of liars, amen? You didn't raise your hand. We're a little bunch of liars. Let me tell y'all something, brother pastor. I got to be honest with you. I like to be transparent with you. Speaking of temptation, my old lawnmower is on the last leg of the last leg. How many know what I'm talking about? I've had it about 15 years. And that thing, the tire was going flat on it. Every time I had to use it, I had to pump up the tire. And not only that, but the battery is dead on it, leaking gas from the carburetor. Had to replace the gas tank, put a deck on it, and had to replace some blades on it and a spindle on it, belts and so forth. And so, I mean, just all, you know, 15 years old is a long time to have a lawnmower. I don't know about you, but sometimes those lawnmowers wear out. Anyway, this year I tried to crank the thing up and it wouldn't crank, and I pulled the starter off of it and was wondering why, and then evidently there's something wrong with the engine. Well, bottom line is this, the grass is growing. How many know the grass is growing? How many know my wife is saying, honey, the grass needs cutting, all right? And so I'm out there in the limo, and I'm saying, what am I going to do? And we went to the store and priced new lawnmowers, riding lawnmowers. How many know riding lawnmowers aren't cheap? Can I get an amen? Anyway, so I said, well, bless God, I'm not going to pay that much for a brand new lawnmower. Fact is, I don't have it right now. But anyway, I said, well, how about a good used lawnmower? Bottom line is this. I found one over there at Robinson Lawnmower Shop. Anybody know where that's at? Over in Mansfield, Georgia. I saw a nice Sears Craftsman lawnmower over there. I said, how much you want for it? He said, just a minor, and it was in good shape. Evidently, who had it? I hope none of you might have had it, but anyway, you may have. Anyway, I said, I'll take it. And I said, hang on to it. Then I was in a dilemma. How am I going to go get that thing? That's in Mansfield, and I live in the big town of New Bern. All right? I'm leading up to something. I'm talking about overcoming temptation. So I said, well, I need it, and I'm feeling the pressure. And about a day or two passes by, I went by there again. I said, well, I'm not sure. Anyway, somebody said, you can use the truck if you want to. But in my particular situation, sometimes with a schedule of being on call 24/7, sometimes I just have to do stuff when I can. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so I told my wife, I said, honey, I want you to go over there. I believe that the Lord wants me to have that lawnmower. And I prayed about it. And I said, here, and I want you to follow me in the car with the emergency lights blinking. I'm going to drive it home. Did anybody see me last week on Highway 213 on a lawnmower with my wife behind me with the emergency lights on? I'm talking about temptation. I could not resist it. I said, I want to get that baby home so bad I got to cut the grass. And, at first I said, well, it's only a mile. How many know us men sometimes underestimate it? It's more than 1 mile, all right? I'm riding down Highway 213. Cars are passing me. My wife's back there blowing a horn saying, get off the side of the road. It's speed up. I said, it's going as fast as it'll go, all right? And so here I'm going on 213. Thanks be to God, no sheriff, Brother Justin, passed by. Aren't you glad? Amen. I was off the side of the road. I'm saying this. Sometimes we're tempted and sometimes we yield to temptation. If I had to do it over again, I'd have never done it. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been there? If you had to do it over again, you'd never do that thing again. But God kept us safe and I praise the Lord for it. There's no temptation taking you. Number one, the reason that God wants to put his hand on us is this, is to overcome temptation the right way with extraordinary strength. Will you let God put his hand on you today? Are you being tempted today? Is there some area that you're being tempted? Number two, not only to overcome temptation, but number two, and it's this, not only to give that strength, but number two, wait a minute, how about this? To see and to say what God wants you. But wait a minute. Before I say that, I want you to understand, if we trace the life of our Lord, you know what he did after he was baptized? You know what he did when he was led in the wilderness? I'll tell you what he did. He chose, this is so important, beloved, so important. He chose some men around him that he would pour his life into. How many remember when he chose his disciples? Question, who are around you? Do you have a group of men around you, men? Do you have some? Jesus, follow me, James. Follow me, John. Follow me, Peter. Follow me, Andrew. And they dropped their nets and they followed Jesus. I'm saying this. I believe the Lord spoke to me about this thing. It's important to surround yourself with some godly men and some godly women. Tell me, who's around you? Tell me, who are you accountable to? You say, I'm not accountable to anybody. Well, are you on an island by yourself? I'm telling you, the devil's going to eat your lunch. We need accountability, all right? We need accountability. By the way, I read an article last week. Now, listen to me, man. An article last week, it came out of the Facts and Trends from the Lifeway Christian Books, Lifeway Studies Research. Struggles men face. Listen to this. Struggles men face. This is in spring 2014. Number one, the first struggle, according to the survey, was this. Men, 56.4% men, struggle with unkind thoughts about others. Number two, fear or anxiety. 55% men struggle with fear or anxiety. Spiritually stagnant. 51% feel like they're spiritually stagnant. I've got a feeling there's some men here today. You feel like, well, man, I don't feel like I'm moving on in my Christian life. I don't feel like I'm where God wants me. Let God put his hand on you. Let him put his hand on you. Yield to him. Surrender to him. Like a glove does to an owner of it. But listen further. Not only does stagnant, but number four, people, men now, this is a survey, 10 top struggles of men. Not only unkind thoughts, fear or anxiety, spiritual stagnation. Number four, feeling like I can't please God. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but there's probably a lot of us today that feel like we can't please God. Well, that could be a legalistic problem. It could be a misconception about who God is and what the Word of God teaches and how to live the Spirit-filled life, whatever it might be. But number five is discouragement. 46% of the men today are discouraged. I'm not going to ask you men how many of you have been discouraged, but chances are there's quite a few men in here today that have been discouraged. Let God put his hand on you. He can encourage you. He can get you out of that discouragement. Number six, feeling like I have something to hide. 46% felt like they had, 44% rather, felt like they had something to hide. Overspending or a misspending. A number of men, 41% of men felt like they overspent or misspent. Number eight, outburst of anger. There were 36% of men that felt like this was a problem. They got angry. Well, are there any men here that feel like you're getting angry? You don't even know why you're getting angry. We live in an age of rage. Why would a 16-year-old young man stab all those people that did last week? What in the world was going on? Why would this man at Fort Hood go, and because he was turned down, whatever reason, and start shooting a bunch of soldiers at Fort Hood? What in the world's going on? I'm telling you, a rage of rage. The devil is doing a dirty work. But wait a minute, number nine, men are feeling lonely these days. How many men are lonely these days? Men, we can get some things right today. It might not be a quick fix, but it's one step in the right direction. We can get together. I don't know about y'all, but I need men around me. Come on, talk to me, somebody. You need men around you. You need women around you. The time has come where we say, you know, I can't do this thing alone. I need some men like David had his mighty men. Then number 10, you know what number 10 is? Pornography. 34% of men felt like that they had real problems with pornography. What am I saying? I'm saying this. Let God put his hand on you. Let God put his hand on you today. Why? So that you'll not only overcome temptation the right way with supernatural strength, but number two, that you and I can, praise God, watch this, choose people around us. And the right kind of people around us. Listen to me. Not just anybody, but the right kind of people. How many know there's some people out there that'll give you some bad advice? They'll give you some bad counsel. You better listen. We better listen. Who wants to tell us if I was you, I'd do this and that? You're not me. Seek out somebody that is spiritually minded and that's going to tell you the truth. That's who we need to go to. Not just somebody to tell us to tickle our ears or flatter us with words. Rather, somebody who loves us and will speak the truth in love. Can I get somebody to say amen? Let God have his way with you. Let God have his way with you. But I want you to know, not only number two, but there's a third reason why we ought to let God put his hand on us. Lord, put your hand on us. Number three, and I think this is most important. Number three, because to say and to see the right things with extraordinary purpose. What I mean, you know, follow the trend now. Follow the progression of the message. First, Jesus is born in the virgin birth. Second, he's baptized by John in the Jordan River. Third, he chooses men around him and launches into his ministry. Third, he begins to teach and preach. What did he teach and preach? Here's what he taught, and this is what he taught his disciples and others. Number one, how to pray. How many want to know how to pray? Oh, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Some of you have gotten weary in well-doing, hadn't you? Some of you kind of forsaken the sweet hour of prayer, hadn't you? You've been so busy, you just hadn't put that time aside. We can get so busy like Martha that we miss the blessings because we're not connected with our Heavenly Father. How many believe it's important to stay connected with your Heavenly Father? This week, my dad's birthday will be tomorrow. He'll be 80 years old. I had the privilege of spending some time with him this week and going to have a get-together with the family after church today and come back. I spent some time with my dad. If I don't ever spend any time with my dad or ever talk with him, I'm not going to have a relationship with him. So it is with my Heavenly Father. I must spend some time with my Heavenly Father. Are you spending time with him? How to pray? One little boy said it this way. You know the model prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. One little boy said it this way. Our Father, which art in heaven, how do you know my name? I want you to know he knows your name. He knows your need too. He knows all about us. One, how to pray. Two, not only did Jesus teach us how to pray. Number two, he taught us how to be saved, how to go to heaven. Nicodemus, he said to Nicodemus in John 3, you must be born again. Keep in mind, Nicodemus is a religious man. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin. And yet Jesus just cut through the chase and said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus was kind of baffled about it. How can a man be born again? Will he enter his mother's womb a second time? He didn't understand. He thought that this physical birth was what Jesus was talking about. But on the contrary, the Lord said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. You must be born again. Let's say that together. You must be born again. Say it again. You must be born again. And if a man is not born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Tell me, have you been born again? Tell me, has there ever been a point in time in your life when you said, God, I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you rose from my sins. I'm trusting in your shed blood alone. I want you to take away my sins. I want to let you put your hand on me. Come into my life. Change me. And I do trust you. Has that ever taken place in your life? It took place in my life in 1982. Do you know that if you died, you're going to heaven? How many know that if you died, you're going to heaven? It's absolutely important that you know that you're going to heaven if you die. Number three, not only how to pray and how to go to heaven, Jesus taught us how important souls are to Him, to our Father. How many believe that every soul is important to our Father? If I took you over there to the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, remember Luke chapter 15? Jesus talks about, he's talking to the Pharisees and the scribes. He's talking to his disciples, sinners and publicans. And he says this, he says about the sheep, the lost silver, and the lost sons, plural. First, the lost sheep. He said, what of you had 100 sheep and one of them get lost would not leave the 99 and go after that lost sheep? He said, and when he find it, that shepherd finds it, he'll put it on his shoulders and rejoice and call up his neighbors, and there's joy in the presence of the angel over one sinner that repents. Then the Lord said about the lady that had the 10 coins or silver. She loses one. And he's teaching a principle how important souls are to God. He said, what if that woman loses one of those coins and she would light a candle and sweep until she finds it? She's looking diligently for that coin. And you know what she does when she... There it is right there. There it is. I've missed that. How many have lost something in the past that you couldn't hardly stand it until you found it? That woman's determined she's going to find it. And she finds it, and then she calls up her neighbors. Hey, I found that lost coin. How many know that it's a joy in the presence of the angel over one sinner that gets right with God? And then there's the lost sons. Jesus taught us about how to care, how to witness, how to share. When's the last time you had a chance to witness? You know what? According to the statistics I read just recently last week, according to Lifeway Christian Research, they said that the average Christian sitting in church on Sunday has yet to share with maybe one person over the last year. One person! Imagine what this neighborhood, what this community would be like if you would go out of here today and say, man, my God's alive, glory to God. My God lives and He's changed my life and I want you to know about Him. Average person's only shared with one person over the last year about the love of God. I know Brother Curtis sitting right here on the front row told me this. He don't know I was going to say this, but he told me his neighbor moved in his house down the road. And praise God, God wanted to do something, and I just thought about it just now. He said he went, and I believe you made him a pie or a cake or something. Man, that's reaching out. He went over to the neighbor's house. You see, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Can I get somebody to say amen? And there's Brother Curtis. He didn't know I was going to say this. He didn't tell me this for me to say this, but it so blessed my heart. Hey, being evangelistically minded, caring about souls. Tell me, you got somebody on your prayer list? Tell me, have you got at least five sinners that you know that aren't right with God that are on your prayer list that you're praying and that you're going to write them a letter? Are you going to call them? Are you going to go by and see them? Are you going to let them know you care about them? Hey, watch this. They may not be saved right when you visit with them. They might not be saved when you sit down with them one time. But like in Jim Ford's case, it took a year. It took a year going by constantly and talking about Jesus. And finally, the Holy Ghost of God convicted him and brought him to saving faith in our Lord. Jesus taught about how to pray. Jesus taught about not only how to pray, but he taught about how to get to heaven. Then he taught about how God cares for souls. Number four, Jesus taught about, watch this, how to have the right attitude with money. I'm talking about the life of our Lord. Let him have his way with you. Have the right attitude with money. I saw a man last week. He was sitting up there at the social circle. I went to the Muse and shared the word of God on Thursday. He's sitting down on a park bench by himself. He's got a hat on his head. He's an older man. I said, how you doing? He said, fine. I said, let me ask you a question. Are you a Christian? He said, I'm a Bible studier, and smiled. Next thing you know, we began to strike up a conversation. Here's what he told me. He said, Pastor, I've made a lot of money in my time. He's almost 80. He said, I've made a lot of money in my time. But he said, I would, watch this. He said, I'd give every cent, every dime, every nickel. I'd give everything I had to get my health back. He's been battling leukemia for 7 years. We're a blessed people. You don't realize, and this man, God was using him to speak to me. He said, I'd give every penny I had to get my health back. He's got leukemia. He's battling leukemia. Tell me, are you grateful to God for your health? Have you thanked God today for your health? I can't hear you. Are you praising the Lord that we've got our aches and pains, but God sure has been good to us? And you just meet somebody that's got leukemia, and all of a sudden you'll say, Lord, you sure, and they're battling, they can't get out hardly much, and going through treatments and all that kind of stuff. How to have the right attitude with money. Watch this. Jesus in the Gospel of Mark chapter 12, people are at the temple, crowds coming by, they've got these, what lack of a better way to put it, collecting plates. They're not really collecting plates, but I'm going to call them collecting plates. And people walk by. They drop in their money. Everybody's watching them. They're dropping in the money. Jesus sees this one little old woman. She's a widow. She's got two mites. It's copper coins. Everybody else is dropping a whole lot of money. She's just got two copper coins. She reaches in her pocketbook maybe and drops those two coins in. Jesus, this is what this tells me about this story. Jesus watches what we give. Jesus watches the motive why we give. And Jesus knows how much we got left over. You missed that. He knows how much you got left over. And I'm just telling what the Lord said, okay? He said, look at that crowd. Everybody was impressed with those, you know, that had a lot of money to give. Everybody was impressed with that. And Jesus said, wait a minute, you don't understand. That little woman, she didn't have very much, but she gave what she had. And the Lord commended her for that. Here's what this teaches me about giving. It teaches me this. God knows what we give. God knows what we have. Has God been good to you? I'm telling you, God's been good to me. And I believe this with all my heart. I know some people, and maybe somebody sitting here today, say, you preachers are always talking about money. You know what? The only people I've ever had trouble with when you preach, and by the way, this is in the Bible. I didn't make this up. This is what Jesus said. The only people that have trouble when you start talking about money is those who don't give. Those that do give, they say, keep on preaching, brother. Keep on preaching. Because it shows in the church, 2%. I think it's 2% according to statistics. The Muslims give more than Christians do today. Hello? No wonder the Muslims are overtaking the world. They're more dedicated often than even Christians. And so I don't apologize for that. It's in the Word. Jesus said, given it should be given. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over. Number five. Not only did the Lord teach us about the attitude of giving, number five, he taught us, wait a minute, I'm talking about let God put his hand on you today. Let him put his hand on you. Number five, the Lord Jesus taught us about forgiving. How many, tell me the truth now, how many have been mad and angry at somebody this week? You got somebody you've been mad at and you're not talk with them. Did you hear about that lady? She couldn't stand her uncle. Man, they were squabbling all the time, fighting all the time, mad at each other all the time. And then all of a sudden, she'd say, I hate my uncle so bad I wouldn't even go to his funeral. But God changed her heart. Then when the Lord changed her heart, she said this. She said, the Lord Jesus made a difference in my life. She said, I've been so changed that now if my uncle dies, I'll be glad to go to his funeral. I'll be glad to go. Anyway. But Jesus taught about forgiving. In Matthew chapter 18, he said there was a man that owed a lot of money and had just been forgiven by this other man. And he went out and found a man a man owed this man some money and he'd been forgiven. Then he went out and found somebody owed him some money and he didn't forgive them. Jesus said that man would be turned over to tormentors. Bottom line is this. He said that we ought to forgive. Let it go. Release it. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Watch this now. You say, but brother pastor, I can't forgive. You know what they've done. You know how they treated me. You don't know how I felt. Let God put his hand on you. Let God put his hand on you. If he puts his hand on you, he will enable you to forgive. That's the key. You're not letting God put his hand on you. Let God put his hand on you. Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Forgiveness is a big thing with our Lord. Not only that, but being thankful. How many are thankful today? How many are thankful today? Remember, Jesus healed 10 lepers. It's found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. He healed 10. Guess how many came back? He extended healing to 10 at least. We know that. Whether all healed or not is beside the point. The point is only one came back to give the Lord thanks. Tell me, has God been doing some things in your life? Has the Lord been answering prayer in your life? Are you thankful? And everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. And then number six. See, if we let God have his way with us, then we are going to be, we're going to be where he wants us to be. Number six. How many believe that people are important to our Lord? People are important to our Lord. I'm going to be quick and just summarize it. I'll be done in just a few minutes. Mark chapter 10. There was a man that Jesus said going down the road to the... Are you concerned about people? Do you have a genuine care in your heart? There was a man going down the road to Jericho. The Lord told the story to it. Man, a religious man, he came up to him and said, who's my neighbor? You love the Lord with all your heart. Love your neighbor. Who's my neighbor? Remember that story? How many remember the story? Shake your head if you remember it. And this man had been beaten, left half dead. A priest and a Levite, they were too busy going to church and doing religious activities. They didn't have time to stop. But a Samaritan, a half-breed, poured in oil, poured in wine. It cost him something, but it cost the other ones more for not stopping. And then he put him and paid his way. But you know what Jesus said? He looked at that crowd and said, who do you think was the neighbor? The Good Samaritan. You remember the story? Tell me, are you concerned about people? People are left half dead out there in our community. They're dead in trespass and sin. Many of them are hurting. Many of them don't know that God cares for them. Do you have compassion? Do we have compassion? Are we concerned? If we let God put his hand on us, I believe we'll be more and more concerned. We are our brother's keeper. And last but not least, number four. Let God put his hand on you. Why? To overcome temptation the right way with extraordinary strength. Let God put his hand on you. Why? So that you'll choose the right people to surround you. And with extraordinary wisdom, choose the right friends. Be a friend. Why? Let God put his hand on you. So that we'll be able to see and say the right things with extraordinary purpose. Yeah, that's what I want. God, I want your anointing on me. Let him put his hand on you today. And then finally, so that we not only will do those things, but number four, to do great and mighty things the right way with extraordinary power. And I'm done. Jesus came in on the triumphal entry. We call that Palm Sunday. Today is, quote, Palm Sunday. He came in, he went up, and he's coming back. Can I get somebody to say amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Will you?